fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 27th day of September, year of our Lord, 2019. Welcome to the John Moore Show. We start our shows with something that, if it's not done in your child or grandchild school, maybe your child should be in a different school. That would be the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The prep tip of the day, everybody should have at least 2 water filters, 1 Basecamp water filter, that would be most likely a Berkey. I do offer Berkeys for sale at my website. And for out in the field, out in the bush, a portable water filter, the highest quality, the best that you can get. They're made in Europe. It's Katahdin. And here's the phonetic spelling. Kilo, Alpha, Tango, Alpha, Delta, Yankee, November. I say again, Kilo, Alpha, Tango, Alpha, Delta, Yankee, November. I believe there's some under my Amazon products there at my website. These are the best that money can buy. They really are. The ones typically sold in sporting goods stores are not nearly the quality. Typically, they will filter maybe 50 gallons before the filter needs to be replaced, where some of these Katahdins, you can go 10, 12,000 gallons through one filter. That's pretty extraordinary. Also, get yourself, a couple of thousand paper coffee filters to pre-filter the water before it goes into your Berkey or before it goes into your Katahdin. That will dramatically increase the life of these filters. We have patient waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began a quest more than 50 years ago, more than half a century ago, to become quite knowledgeable in anything and everything to do with emergency survival communications, two-way radio communications, ham radio communications, radio frequency engineering, to the point where he's made a living. Self-employed in these areas of expertise. We're going to talk about emergency survival communication. If you have a question or comment, just give us a call at 800-313-9443. Morning, Tom.
Good morning, John. How are you today?
Well, as I sometimes say, if I felt any better, it wouldn't be legal. Tom, I don't know what to think about this weather. I thought the brutal weather was past us. I was getting ready to schedule some backhoe bulldozer work here at my place, and I realized next week it's going to be back up in the 90s. That's pretty strange, isn't it?
It really is. I was working late last night out of my shop, and it was real nice and cool out there. I think the temperature outside was around 62 or 63 degrees out here in the Ozarks, so it was very comfortable. But not for long. Back up in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, that's simply the nature of it. I don't know what to think about that other than we just need to work around it and deal with it. Well, Tom, The end of September is the last day that it will be legal to sell these Baofeng radios that are programmable without undue hardships, shall we say. And we went over this a few months ago. The government's very concerned about people having independent communication that they can't control, aren't they?
Well, yes, to some extent, that's true. And I think the biggest problem... Well, there's a couple of problems with those radios. First of all, the harmonic output, the spectral purity of the signal is not the best. They are not the best, and they're not FCC type approved because of that. And then one of the main problems is that they are programmable. The frequency is programmable from the front panel control pad. That's no good in the land mobile business, where the operator of the radio can actually set the frequency they want to be on. That is not allowed. So all the other radios are required to have a radio shop or somebody with the programming equipment to program them and make sure they're on the proper frequency, the modulation levels are correct, and so on. But not so with those Baofeng things. And John, personally, I have two of them, and they do work. But I've checked them with spectrum analyzers, and they have a lot of noise output. Their transmit signal is rather noisy. The receivers are quite susceptible to adjacent channel interference. So they may work good out here in the sticks. In the countryside, they might be okay. And a lot of people use them. They like them. But you get them into a metropolitan area where there's a lot of RF energy floating around, perhaps a major metropolitan area near a tall building where there's a lot of communications equipment installed on the tops of those buildings. If you look at any of the tall buildings in any major city, you'll see all the antennas up there. Some of those building tops look like a porcupine. They have so many antennas sticking up. And in those types of environments, those radios would be rendered useless.
Well, that's good to know, and people need to know that up front, because these little Baofeng radios are so inexpensive. They're unbelievably cheap that people are gravitating towards them, thinking that they've got what they need. They just need to be aware of the limitations of this equipment and don't have expectations beyond what these inexpensive radios can do, right?
That's true, John, and I've mentioned the Motorola types of HTs that work quite well, that are front panel programmable, but they only have 20 channels. They work quite well. They're much better than the Baofeng, but they were never imported into this country because of that front panel programming capability. They were never allowed in, so you have to buy them on the secondary market to import them, buy them through eBay. I've got a bunch of them. Maybe 20 of them that I've bought over the years, mostly on eBay, and that's called a Motorola GP68, and they work very, very good. Well, the problem is, though, for a lot of ham operators, they're one band, they're single band only, and you have to, if you want to be on VHF, you have to buy a VHF model, UHF, buy the UHF model. And you can get in trouble with that because they look identical. You can't tell the difference between the two, especially if you don't have the frequency displayed. You can have a channel number displayed or the frequency displayed on those readouts. And if you don't have the frequency on it, you don't know which one is which. You can tell by the antennas, but if you get the antennas mixed up, same problem. So then you have to take the battery off and look at the model number. The model number will tell you, the exact model number will tell you what frequency band they are. But I mainly use the UHF version of those because I'm not interested in talking through repeaters or talking very long distances. I just want to communicate maybe a quarter mile to a half a mile while driving with other people. Some of my ham buddies will travel somewhere and we'll have these radios in each car, and they work very, very well. In fact, a couple of times just from HT to HT on some level ground, we were able to talk almost 5 miles.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, depending on the crisis, I was talking to one of our preparedness group members the other day. Depending on who the enemies are, if the enemies are common criminals who want to cause harm, damage property, threaten innocent human life, we'll be using two-way radio communications a lot to make, you know, do what we need to do to respond to criminal activity. If it's a organized military that we're up against, the United Nations, communist Chinese, communist Russians, we'll only be listening. They have the capability of intercepting any radio communication and determining the location of where that communication came from. There's exceptions if you know what you're doing, that you can communicate very briefly, 5 seconds or less. But for the main part, we would just be monitoring their frequencies and others to learn what's going on. But people need to have the ability to do both, don't they, Tom?
Yes, that's very true, John. And, you know, with these software-defined radios, which, by the way, the Baofeng and many of the HTs and many of the radios today are software-defined radios. They're actually a computer, and they have an analog-to-digital converter. So they take the RF signals and convert them into digital, and then they use digital signal processing, and that's how they pick up the transmissions and decode them and put them through the speaker, headset, or whatever, and then the reverse of that for the transmit side of it. And I don't know if this is being performed, but in theory, you could actually download an entire section of the spectrum, say the UHF or the VHF band or the HF band. You could just download the whole, you could just monitor the whole thing at one time and download it and store it and pick it apart later to find different signals and things that you may not have tuned into, but they're there. So you can just download the entire spectrum in real time to play it back later or analyze it by computer and find signals that were maybe missed or hidden and so on. So frequency hopping would be very important, and a lot of the military-type equipment uses frequency hopping where they're just on a particular frequency for just maybe a half a second, or I don't know the exact specs, and I'm sure it's adjustable, but they jump around and all the units in that network of communications network follow that algorithm, and they bounce around to different frequencies and they transmit and receive for a very short period of time, although it's transparent to the users that are on that network. They don't even know what's happening, but it allows you to have secure communications without the enemy intercepting it, and then it's probably possible to have encryption on top of that if you wanted to go that far. One of the companies that makes frequency hopping equipment that I am especially interested in, I really like their equipment, it's the RF Harris Company in Rochester, New York. They make a lot of the military-type backpack radios, and you see these come up for sale occasionally on eBay. They go for a lot of money. I don't know what they cost new. I mean, they could be $20,000 to $30,000 each,
right,
for
right.
The more sophisticated ones. But on eBay, I've seen them go for $2,500 and $3,000 for used equipment that looks really good. I mean, some of it looks almost new.
Right.
So if you're interested in those types of radios, they're very, very nice to have.
Well, unless you're at a certain level of expertise, it would be a mistake to get something of that nature. We have a Harris transceiver here. It's the same equipment the CIA uses in their for their communications. And it's extremely, extremely complex and sophisticated, and it's a world-class unit, obviously it is. Most of our listeners don't have their ham radio license, let alone are ready to jump into something that's state-of-the-art of this nature. But there's people in most of these ham clubs that do have that level of expertise, aren't there?
Oh, there certainly are hams out there that are up to speed on that type of equipment. And I don't claim to be an expert on it at all, but I am quite interested in the portable operation for ham radio use. And I think it's really important for everybody to consider some sort of portable equipment that could be used on the HF spectrum, even if it's only a shortwave receiver with single sideband capabilities. If you just want to listen to shortwave broadcasts, then that's not important. If you want to listen to the ham radio operators, you really need to have the single sideband capabilities to pick up and decode those signals. Otherwise, you just won't be able to listen to them. And single sideband capabilities on a radio also allow you to listen to the Morse code transmissions if you're interested in that type of radio equipment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you've got a question or comment, give us a call at 800-313-9443. Same conversation with this individual. We were talking about one of our Radio Shacks that we've got and what it would take to staff that. And for one person to be there 24/7, you're looking at least three people to man that Radio Shack to monitor 24/7 and, of course, communicate as necessary. It's certainly a logistical manpower burden, isn't it?
It really is, John, and there's ways that you can, say, for instance, you have an HF system set up and you need to monitor that constantly. There's ways to actually interface that with VHF or UHF equipment and even through a repeater and have that system backed up that way to where you could listen to it away from that radio position from that shack. You can interface it that way, and it allows you to use your HT or a VHF or UHF mobile radio or base station and communicate back through that HF system. And I've seen it done. I did a little bit of that myself, and I was a member of a club years ago that had a very sophisticated system like that, where they had UHF, VHF, and 6-meter FM repeaters that were interfaced with 40-meter and 75-meter single sideband radios. So it was kind of odd to talk to somebody on HF on that system, because you'd hear the squelch, the little noise burst at the end of the transmission, the squelch tail, as they call it, and you would hear that on the HF band. If you're talking to somebody, wasn't aware of what you were doing, it always made them wonder how that was happening, because that doesn't normally happen on single sideband transmissions. But it was because we had that repeater interface with it. It was I know the guy personally that built the whole system. He's very, very highly skilled in this type of work, and this thing was a work of art, John. I don't know if these guys still have it on the air or not, but it was the towers on a pretty tall tower, had an incredible range, and it was located near High Ridge, Missouri.
Well, High Ridge got its name because it is, in fact, geographically a high ridge, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. And then this, I think this tower is probably close to 300 feet on top of one of the highest locations. When you were standing, actually on the road that goes up to it, you could see all the way into St. Louis County. You could look over the entire St. Louis County area. So they had another 300 feet of tower over the top of that. So it was an excellent location, and the range of this system was unbelievable. So you could have a small HT and actually operate an HF single sideband.
Well, that's all. We got a break. Call number is 800-313-9.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Your public broadcasting network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSite Bonus. Those who are now FrontSite members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSite, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSite, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
J.R. Moore here on Friday the 27th. We're going on a cruise. It will be fun. If you choose for it to be, it will be romantic with you and your significant other. We're leaving Florida Saturday the 9th of February, returning a week later the 16th. Leon Green will be with us. Listeners that want to come along and be part of this, of course, will be with us. I hope it can be you. Get the details at my website at thelibertyman.com if you don't have internet access, or if you just want to talk to our cruise director and have her mail you a nice full-color brochure. Give our cruise director a call. That's Betsy Murphy. Our cruise director, her telephone is 636-530-9502. I say again, 636-530-9502. Visiting with Tom Berryhill. We're talking about emergency survival communications. And if you got a question or comment, give us a call at 800-313-9443. Tom, I was working with my new thermal imaging device last night, and when I was finished testing it and reviewing it, I removed the batteries. And this is a heads up. Any electronic device, any piece of equipment that takes batteries, do not put it in storage with the batteries inside. Correct, Tom?
That's very true, John, and especially for our regular flashlight-type batteries. That's really true for those. Some of the newer battery technologies, though, they really don't leak. or as much. But I still like to remove batteries when I'm not using any piece of equipment for a long period of time.
Absolutely. Well, that's imperative. Now, figure out how many batteries you need, or you think you'll need, and then double that number. Have at least two chargers, that's the minimum, two battery chargers. Have a way to use solar power to operate these battery chargers. And keep all this type of equipment, the battery chargers, solar panels, in a Faraday cage, and the radios themselves in a Faraday cage, so that if there would be an EMP, it won't affect your radios. Correct, Tom?
That's very true. And also, as far as Faraday cages go, it'd be wise to have magnetic shielding on there. So a lot of people think about the electrical side of it, the electrical pulse itself, but there's a magnetic component to that EMP blast as well, and you need to shield for that. If you have copper screening, that would work quite well, but a magnetic field will go right through that. So you want to have, I would say, at least two layers of some sort of sheet metal. Even galvanized sheet metal would be better than nothing, and that would serve as a magnetic shield as well as the electrical side of it. So the old idea of putting a galvanized metal trash can inside a second trash can, isolating the two and then grounding them together at one point only, and that point then goes to a ground rod, is an excellent way to protect equipment.
Now let's just get some more detail. I know what exactly we're talking about, but our listeners don't. When you say isolating one galvanized steel can from the other, that means no metal can touch metal. So the metal of the inside can cannot touch the metal of the outside can, using old blankets, cardboard, wood, some non-conductive material. Correct, Tom?
That's exactly correct. And then at one point, the two can be bonded together and then grounded. The idea here is that if you have you never want to ground it in more than one spot. If you have multiple grounds on there, what happens is between the grounds, if there's enough of a voltage signal from that electromagnetic pulse, it could actually induce currents between the two ground rods or the two grounding locations, and that right there would set up a field itself, another magnetic field secondary to the one that's coming in. So you always want to ground any type of equipment at one single point. And that holds true for most electronic equipment, especially audio equipment, radio equipment, all of that stuff, John, should really be grounded at one point only.
Well, and even for buildings with metal roofs or a metal building, a friend of mine, he's probably listening, he built a very nice Quonset steel building, beautiful building, very nicely done. And I told him exactly what you said. You need that metal steel building grounded at one point. Otherwise, you're setting up an electrical circuit and defeating your purpose, aren't you?
Yeah, and a lot of people have heard of ground loops, and that's exactly what happens. If the potential energy is high enough, the difference in the resistance between the grounding locations will be enough to allow... Boy, I tell you, John, I wish we could have a chalkboard. I could draw pictures of this and everybody would understand it. But trying to explain it verbally is difficult. But basically, there's a little bit of a difference in the voltage levels or the grounding ability of each ground rod when they're spaced out like that. And then the building itself starts acting as an energized conductor and radiates the signal and makes the whole situation even worse.
Hold that thought, Tom.
Now, there are... Okay, we'll talk more about grounding.
After the break, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, we are back. Listen to Matera for you on Friday, the 27th of September. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. There's a lot there. Things will educate you, inform you, help you get prepared. Of course they will. I keep talking about this letter. It's not a letter. It's actually a transcript of a speech given by the top Chinese general in the Communist People's Republic of China. He was giving this speech to his top generals. He never thought or believed that this speech would ever be released to the American public, translated into English. He never thought that at all. Didn't occur to him that this would happen, but it did, and we've got it. And you need to read this. You want to know what's coming at us? This is what's coming at us. The dragon is coming at us. So read that and inform yourself. You're going to need to be healthy. You're going to need to have lots of energy to deal with what's coming in the future. That's where the energy cleaner comes in. We need healthy, strong, energetic Americans, not people debilitated with arthritis pain, people who aren't getting a great night's sleep. The energy cleaner helps with all those things. I'm sitting in the energy cleaner frequency, that pad, right now, getting that signal right now as I speak. You can also. The details on energy cleaner are at my website at thelibertyman.com, where you can read up on it, make your decision, place your order using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. You send me a check, my address is there. I have a toll-free order line 24 hours a day for the energy cleaner and the mattress pads. Keep in mind the following. I offer for me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee. Don't ask your doctor for a 90-day money-back guarantee. It will not be well-received, as if you don't know that already. The toll-free hour line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. We're talking with Tom Berryhill, and we're talking about emergency survival communications. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. Well, Tom, we frequently talk about batteries, but we need to because, obviously, without batteries, all these handy-talkies are basically paperweights. And majority of these radios, base station and mobile radios, they run off 12 volts, don't they, sir?
Yes, they do, John. Before we move on to the battery supply, I want to have some closing comments on grounding. What I like to do, or HF systems, once you find the spot, if you have to ground a metal building or your trash can system or what have you, one ground rod is usually enough, and they are typically 8 feet long. They're steel and they're copper plated. Just drive that thing in the ground and make your connection to it. You should be fine. As far as HF radio equipment goes, I like to have a really good ground. So what I do for that is I almost violate what I just said. I actually use three ground rods, and I'll drive a ground rod in, and I'll go down 2 or 3 feet and drive another ground rod in, and another 3 feet, sometimes in a triangular pattern even. But I'll use three ground rods that are 8 feet long, and that gives you a very low impedance or low resistance connection to the earth. Usually you can get by with one, but I like to make sure that I have a very good ground. It's so important on HF communications especially. And also, when installing ground rods like that, what helps a little bit if you have, if you don't have really good ground conductivity in your area, there's charts out there that show the various ground conductivity readings throughout the country. Where we are here in the Missouri Ozarks, John, it's not too bad, but it's not the best either. What I do is I take a post hole digger and I dig down at least a foot, foot and a half, and then I drive the ground rod down through that larger hole right in the center, and then when I'm finished pounding the ground rod into place, I fill that with either rock salt or copper sulfate crystals, and that will soak down into the ground and give a very good, very highly conductive connection into the ground in your area. So just some ideas there that might help people that are going to operate on HF and they need a good ground.
Well, a good solid ground is not optional. I know I have a number of friends who are involved in the aircraft industry, and if we're having a casual discussion and they mention an issue, I always say, well, you should check the ground.
Right.
Oddly enough, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a 1935 airplane or a brand new F-15. Issues with ground will cause problems with all these aircraft and any radio situation, whether it's a mobile unit, an automobile, or a truck, or a base station. Not having a proper ground is always an issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And as far as removed from earth ground, it's usually the vehicle frame or the airframe on an aircraft, and you need a good connection to that, and it's not optional. You need that, and it makes all the difference in the world as far as communications equipment goes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, soon we will have 12 months before the November 2020 election. Men that I work with, men that I know personally, Dave Hodges, Paul Martin, Steve Quayle, my friend Steve Ben Noon, who's on every Tuesday with me, we all share a common concern that following the November 2020 election, civil disorder is a high likelihood. Nothing's definite, obviously. Nothing's definite. Things could change, and President Trump is doing what he can to mitigate. But these 12, 13 months will fly by, and people need to be making decisions now, getting in training now, getting equipment and supplies now, while they can, right, Tom?
Well, that's exactly right, and we wanted to talk about batteries a little bit. That's very important to have some, at least at a minimum, lead-acid batteries. I'm reading up more on these lithium-based batteries, John, and they have incredible power storage capabilities in a very small package. So that technology is very expensive, but that's a low weight type of method of storing incredible amounts of energy. If you can afford it, some of those battery packs are hundreds of dollars, but in a very small space and very lightweight, they store a lot of electrical power. And if you're going to operate any type of portable equipment out in the field, it'd be very wise to make an investment in some of these newer style battery systems that will make it easier to transport that equipment. Lugging around some lead acid batteries gets pretty old after a while.
It does. It does. And they're heavy, they're bulky, and of course the radios we carried in Vietnam were heavy and bulky, but they were very dependable within their limitations, obviously. I'll trade off weight and bulk for dependability if that's what it takes. But these days you can get a very dependable, durable radio in a fairly small, fairly lightweight package, can't you, sir?
Oh, you really can. One of my favorites is the small Yaesu FT817. They have a new one, FT818. It's another 1 watt of power. They're low power, by the way. The F817 is about 5 watts. This new one is maybe 6 or 7 watts. I don't remember exactly. I don't have one. I do have the 817. I really like it. And then here, ICOM is coming out with some sort of ultra portable type of HF system. I don't remember the model number, but they're. There's something new on the horizon for next spring, and they'll probably show that for the first time at the Dayton Ham Fest in Dayton, Ohio. That's where they usually show all the new equipment that's coming out, so that's something to pay attention to. And so much of this equipment will work quite well out in the field with these low-weight batteries. If you have to lug this equipment around for a while in a portable situation where you have to carry it on your back or carry it in a case, those lead acid batteries are quite heavy, whereas the lithium based and even the nickel metal hydride batteries will be a lot less weight wise to lug around. And any of that type of equipment will work with these batteries. You just have to get the right number of cells and set it up for your system, look at the ampere hour draw, and just remember that the radios take a lot less when you're receiving, but when you transmit, it takes a lot of power. And that's where you really have to plan ahead and figure out how much transmit time you have relative to receive time, and then also which mode of transmission are you going to use. If you're on FM, when you push that microphone button, even if you don't say one word, it's drawing maximum power from that battery. Depending on the power level of the transmitter, it's drawing full current. It, for the same power level on a single sideband radio, the current draw varies as you speak. If you push the microphone button and don't say one word, it's in a transmit mode, but it's drawing not much more than a receive mode because there's no modulation taking place. As soon as you start to talk, when the voice peaks is where it starts drawing all the current. There's no carrier there that requires a lot of current, so it's just the voice modulation peaks that draw all the current. And that's why many times a single sideband portable setup like that will last a lot longer in the batteries than an FM-type system would.
Absolutely.
Something to keep in mind.
It is something to keep in mind. Now, a tiny percentage of people listening to us know what you and I are talking about. Most don't. They're not ham radio operators. They may have seen a CB radio maybe 30 or 40 years ago. Maybe they watched police officers use a radio, but they have no knowledge about what you and I are talking about. No worry, mate. The knowledge is not far away. That knowledge would be at your local ham radio club. Easily found, go to the ARRL website. That's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima.org, the Amateur Radio Relay League. And you can find your local ham radio club. Hopefully they won't be too far away. They typically meet once a month, usually at a restaurant, maybe at a library meeting room, someplace of that nature. They get together, they talk about their hobby, and they educate each other. They inform each other. They socialize. They help each other study for their tests to get their ham radio license. They buy and sell high-quality ham radio equipment at very deep discounts back and forth to each other. If you want to know about how all this works, the beginning point, the portal, is to locate and become part of that local ham radio club. Right, Tom?
That's correct, John, and that's the best way to meet like-minded people. Men and women will be members of these clubs, and they will help you to get your equipment set up once you get your license. I hope you, of course, study to head towards getting that license. You have to take the test, and many of these clubs will administer the test. They're volunteer examiners, and they will have a testing day. They do it quite often, maybe once a month, something like that. And I really think that if somebody put their mind to it and studied for 3 or 4 weeks, they would easily be able to pass that technician test and be on the air in a short period of time. The FCC doesn't mail out licenses anymore, but they post the results on their website, and your call sign will show up there. They'll have a listing on their database that shows that you have a particular call sign, and that's how you can find out when your license has been issued. You'll have your call sign. You can get on the air immediately. Usually it's just a few days after you take the test, maybe a week at the most, and you'll be set and ready to go. And then the members of that ham club that administered that test will also help you get your equipment squared away and help you get on the air. And they may be some of the first people you ever talk to, but they'll help you with the on-the-air procedures. You don't just get on there and start talking. There's different ways to listen and communicate and different cue signals and codes and things that are unique to ham radio and communications that you'll learn how to use. And it's very important to learn the on-the-air procedures so you don't make a fool of yourself once you get on that radio. And then you'll meet a lot of different people that have similar interests. You'll meet others from all walks of life, all the way from somebody who might be an electrician up to a neurosurgeon. You never know who you're going to be talking to next.
That's right. You never know. And it's a wide variety of people that from all walks of life, all over the planet. You simply don't know. You may be talking to a taxi cab driver. You may be talking to a movie star. You may be talking to royalty in some foreign country. But these skills are easy to acquire. The equipment is not terribly expensive. And 12, 13 months from now, this knowledge, this equipment, these supplies may very well be a matter of life and death, correct?
Very possible, John. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen, but it would be very wise to have equipment like this. At a minimum, I would have a scanner that's capable of listening to the law enforcement, the fire firefighters in your local area, as well as the city utilities, the county road crews, any of the utility companies that operate in your area. They all have two-way radios in their trucks and cars, and you'd be able to listen in on their discussions and learn a lot about what's going on. If there's power outages, things like that, you'll hear it firsthand. And then also a shortwave radio with single sideband capabilities would be very important. And then, of course, some way to power all this equipment. Many of these scanners, probably most of them, will operate off of 12 volts, just like a standard car battery. So you could power this stuff off of your car if you wanted to run a cable out to your car and run the car once in a while to charge your battery. But you could operate that way, run a wire into the house from the car, just clip onto the batteries. I've seen it done that way. Another way to do it is to set up some sort of even a lead-acid marine battery would work quite well, a deep cycle type marine battery, and just get an inexpensive solar panel to keep that battery charged. When you're not using the equipment, the battery will be constantly charged and at a ready state, ready to go. And it would be very wise to have something like that. Or charge it off your regular utility power. Just plug it in a wall with a battery charger. Maybe have the solar panel as a backup. And, of course, jumper cables at a car. If you needed that, you could charge up a battery off your car if need be. You just have to think outside the box a little bit and get yourself set up and ready for this.
Hold that thought, Tom. Hold that thought. We got our last break. We'll be right back.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high. No matter what amount you take, what does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied. But you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. And purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
September 27th. Well, this hour has flown by, Tom, and hopefully we're getting people's attention about the gravity of the situation and the limited time to get ready. It is limited time, and I'm taking this seriously, you're taking it seriously, and we hope all our listeners do, don't we?
Well, we sure do, John, and if anybody is concerned and they're not a ham operator, but they want to stay informed, if anything does take place that's a lights out type of situation or some civil unrest or anything like that. I really think what we just talked about, the scanner and the shortwave receiver, would be very, very important to have. You don't always need to talk, but you do need to listen, and you would have all that information right at your fingertips. You could dial in these different frequencies and listen in and hear what's going on in your community or halfway around the world. So with those two pieces of equipment, a scanner, and by the way, the scanner should be capable of receiving digital-type communications, especially P25 digital, because that's what so many of the law enforcement agencies have gone to. Unfortunately, some of it is encrypted nowadays, but they don't always have encryption on their systems, but some of them are, and you can't listen in. But if they're not encrypted, you'll be able to listen and hear what's going on, and then also on shortwave, you'd be able to listen to foreign broadcasts. And so many times, the best information comes from a non-domestic source. So you might hear more valuable information from a foreign country than you would from your own broadcast going on in our own nation. It's sometimes the information from outside our nation is better and more accurate than what they're feeding us right here at home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it will be a challenge. It will be a situation where you're under stress, you're suffering sleep deprivation, you probably aren't going to be eating familiar food or meals like you normally would. A lot of things combine to make a situation like that extremely difficult in terms of your intellectual capability, your spiritual life, your physical capability. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, as they say, Tom. I'm not looking forward to it again. But the better prepared you are before all these events begin, the better off you're going to be in the long run, won't you?
Well, that's very true. And one of the worst situations would have something like this take place and then be in the dark, so to speak, as far as information and communications goes. If they shut down the internet feeds, turned off cell phone systems, you just wouldn't have a clue as to what's happening. But with scanners and shortwave receivers, at a minimum, ham radio equipment, if you do have your ham license, would be even better. But at a minimum, the scanner and the shortwave radio equipment would allow you to tune in and listen to anything out there, and you'd have a lot more information and probably feel a lot better about the situation, because you'd have information. Not knowing what's happening would be really a bad way to be living under those circumstances.
Tom, thank you, sir. We'll have you back next week. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Okay, top of the hour break. We'll be back with Dr. Lynn Wilbur. Stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.